Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Hear them shouting. Can you hear that? They're shouting, let us out, let us out.
The shouts of hundreds of parents and children detained by ICE, protesting from behind the walls of the Family Detention Center in Dilley, Texas, over the weekend. Prisoners there include 5-year-old Liam Conejo Ramos and his father, detained in Minneapolis and sent to Texas. We'll speak with immigration attorney Eric Lee, who is there, then to New Jersey to talk to Congresswoman LaMonica McIver. She's facing 17 years in prison for allegedly assaulting a federal officer outside an ICE detention center in Newark as agents were arresting Mayor Ross Baraka. She vehemently denies the charges against her. And finally, we'll look at how ICE is using facial recognition technology to track immigrants and protesters in Minnesota and across the country. We'll speak to the ACLU. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The Department of Homeland Security said Wednesday the two agents who killed Minneapolis ICU nurse Alex Preti have been placed on administrative leave since Saturday when they fired a combined 10 rounds at Preti in under 5 seconds as he lay motionless on the ground. The preliminary internal review by Customs and Border Protection made no mention of Preti attacking officers or brandishing a gun, directly contradicting Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem's initial claims about Preti's killing. It comes as 3 new videos have been discovered showing a previous confrontation between Alex Preti and federal agents 11 days before he was fatally shot by ICE agents. The footage shows Preti yelling at agents in an unmarked vehicle and kicking the taillight of the car as they drive away. An armed agent is then seen exiting the car, tackling Preti to the ground soon after the officers leave the scene. Meanwhile, ICE and Border Patrol agents have continued carrying out raids across the Twin Cities. On Tuesday, diplomatic staff inside Ecuador's consulate in Minneapolis filmed an ICE agent trying to enter the building, which is considered the sovereign territory of Ecuador under the Vienna Convention. In response, Ecuador's foreign ministry filed a formal protest with the U.S. Embassy in Quito condemning ICE's actions. This despite the fact that the Ecuadorian president, Daniel Noboa, is an ally of President Trump. On Wednesday, President Trump lashed out at Minneapolis's mayor on social media, writing, quote, "Surprisingly, Mayor Jacob Frey just stated that Minneapolis does not and will not enforce federal immigration laws. Could somebody in his inner sanctum please explain that this statement is a very serious violation of the law and that he is playing with fire?" Unquote. Frey responded, quote, "The job of our police is to keep people safe, not enforce federal immigration laws. I want them preventing homicides, not hunting down a working dad who contributes to Minneapolis and is from Ecuador," unquote. Meanwhile, a third round of No Kings protests is being planned for March 28th. Organizers expect it'll be the largest protest in U.S. history. Earlier today, Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar launched her bid to run for governor of Minnesota. It comes after Minnesota Governor Tim Walz announced earlier this month that he will not seek a third term. President Trump claimed Democratic Congressmember Ilhan Omar staged the attack against herself when a man rushed towards her and sprayed her with a foul-smelling liquid at a town hall in Minneapolis Tuesday night. Speaking to ABC News' Rachel Scott, Trump said he hadn't seen the video of the assault, saying, quote, "I don't think about her. I think she's a fraud. She probably had herself sprayed knowing her," unquote. This is Congressmember Ilhan Omar speaking to reporters Wednesday.
Well, I think my presence here should tell you that the fear and intimidation doesn't work on me. And, you know, you and I have talked about this many a times, this the president's rhetoric, the attacks from him since I've gotten into public office from the right wing has always been really to stop me from being in public service, to intimidate me, to make me want to quit. And my only message is it hasn't worked thus far and it's not going to work in the future.
Democratic Congressmember Joaquin Castro met with 5-year-old Liam Conejo Ramos and his father at the Dilley Detention Center in Texas on Wednesday. Liam was detained with his dad in Minnesota after the boy came home from preschool last week. Images of Liam went viral after he was picked up by federal agents while still wearing his Spider-Man backpack and a blue hat with bunny ears. Congressmember Castro spoke after the meeting.
His dad said that that he hasn't been himself, that he's been sleeping a lot because he's been depressed and sad. And so Liam actually was not awake during our visit. He was sleeping. A lot of parents there who talked about their kids experiencing deep depression, anxiety.
80 members of Congress, led by Texas Democratic Congressmember Greg Kassar and Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren, are demanding that Ana Lucia Lopez Bellosa be allowed to return to the United States after the Trump administration admitted she was mistakenly deported to Honduras. She's a student at Babson College, was detained and deported while traveling home to Austin to visit her family for a surprise for Thanksgiving. Meanwhile, a federal judge ruled on Monday that DHS can continue to insist that lawmakers provide a week's notice before visiting immigration detention facilities. Last week, Democratic Senator Cory Booker introduced a bill to end the use of private for-profit detention facilities to jail immigrants. We'll speak with New Jersey Congressmember LaMonica McIver later in the broadcast. In Texas, several prisoners at an ICE jail on the Fort Bliss military base have testified they heard Cuban immigrant Geraldo Lunas Campos pleading for medication shortly before guards tackled him to the ground. One of the witnesses said in a sworn court declaration he heard a guard tell Lunas Campos, quote, "Shut up or we're going to make you faint," unquote. He added, quote, "The last thing I heard was Geraldo speak in a voice that sounded like he couldn't breathe. He said, 'Let go of me. You're asphyxiating me,'" unquote. ICE claimed the 55-year-old father of four died while staff were attempting to save him after he attempted suicide. But an autopsy found Campos died from asphyxiation due to neck and torso compression. And the Associated Press reports a witness saw Lunas Campos handcuffed as at least five guards held him down while one put an arm around his neck and squeezed until he was unconscious. Homeland Security officials have urged FEMA staff to avoid using phrases like "watch out for ICE" in public messaging about the recent winter storm that hit the United States. A source told CNN, quote, "If FEMA says keep off the roads if you see ICE, it would be easy for the public to meme it," unquote. The DHS directive reportedly instructed FEMA staffers to use terms like "freezing rain" instead of ICE in their communications. Senate Democrats are threatening to block funding for the Department of Homeland Security if the current government spending bill does not include reforms aimed at ICE agents. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is calling for the DHS funding bill to be rewritten and voted on separately. But Republicans have signaled they won't call for a separate vote on DHS funding. If the Senate fails to pass a federal spending bill, the government will partially shut down Saturday. The FBI raided the election office in Georgia's Fulton County Wednesday, seeking computers and ballots related to the 2020 election. Reuters confirmed that Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard visited the site of the search. President Trump continues to falsely claim his 2020 election defeat was the result of widespread voting fraud and has repeatedly targeted Fulton County officials. The FBI raid comes a week after Trump vowed on social media that, quote, people will soon be prosecuted for what they did, unquote, in reference to the 2020 election. In response to the FBI raid, Georgia Democratic Senator John Ossoff said, quote, after losing Georgia in 2020, Donald Trump demanded state officials find votes to change the outcome, tried to use DOJ to overturn it, and spread conspiracy theories that led to the January 6th sacking of the U.S. Capitol. I suspect today's raid is a continuation of this sore losers crusade, despite repeated audits and independent reviews confirming that Donald Trump was indeed defeated, Senator Ossoff said. In economic news, the U.S. Federal Reserve left interest rates unchanged Wednesday, resisting pressure from President Trump to lower them. This comes as the Fed and its chairman, Jerome Powell, are facing a criminal investigation launched by Trump's ally, Jeanine Pirro, the former Fox News host who's currently the U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia. On Tuesday, Powell confirmed he attended the Supreme Court's oral arguments over Trump's effort to fire Fed Governor Lisa Cook.
I wanted to ask that, you know, you attended the Supreme Court hearing last week on the Lisa Cook case, and Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent criticized that as political. Can you say why you attended and what you would say in response to the Secretary's criticism?
So let me start with, I don't respond to comments by other officials, whoever they may be. It's just not appropriate to do that. I will tell you why I attended. I would say that that case is perhaps the most important legal case in the Fed's 113-year history.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio Wednesday refused to rule out further U.S. attacks on Venezuela. Rubio's threat came during testimony before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, where he told lawmakers Venezuela's interim government has agreed to submit a monthly budget to the Trump administration, which will release money from an account funded by oil sales and initially managed by Qatar. Rubio's testimony was interrupted by the Venezuelan-American activist Leonardo Flores with the anti-war group Code Pink.
The sanctions on Venezuela are a collective punishment of civilians. That's a war crime. He's committed at least four war crimes since this operation started in August. Perfidy. They disguised a military plane as a civilian craft. They double-tapped a fisherman.
Who's
they
on?
Also blockaded Venezuela. That's not an act of war.
President Trump has threatened another U.S. military strike on Iran unless officials in Tehran agree to a new nuclear deal. On Wednesday, Trump wrote on social media, a massive armada is heading to Iran and is prepared to move, quote, with speed and violence if necessary. Trump added, quote, time is running out. It's truly of the essence, unquote. Iran's foreign minister promised to respond immediately and powerfully to any possible U.S. attack. Following Trump's threats, European Union foreign ministers imposed new sanctions on Iran, citing the government's violent crackdown on recent protests. The Bulletin of Atomic Scientists has set the doomsday clock to 85 seconds to midnight, the closest the clock has ever been to midnight in its history. The Bulletin of Atomic Scientists said that urgent action is needed to address nuclear weapons threats, disruptive technologies like artificial intelligence, multiple biological security concerns, and the continuing climate crisis. Russia launched a wave of drone and missile attacks across Ukraine Wednesday, killing a couple in Kyiv. It follows a Russian strike on a passenger train, which killed five people Tuesday. The attacks come ahead of peace talks that are scheduled for this weekend. A new report by the Center for Strategic and International Studies finds nearly 2 million Russian and Ukrainian troops have been killed, wounded, or missing during nearly 4 years of war. Spain's announced it's offering legal amnesty to nearly 500,000 undocumented immigrants and asylum seekers in Spain. Immigrants will be granted up to 1 year of legal residency as well as permission to work. Foreign nationals who arrived in Spain before December 31st, 2025, must prove they've been living in the country for at least 5 months to be eligible and prove that they have no criminal record. Dozens of people have died nationwide due to extreme cold weather conditions. CBS News confirmed at least 60 deaths due to the winter storm that swept large parts of the U.S. Here in New York City, at least 10 people were found dead outside during dangerously cold temperatures. According to New York City police, 8 men and 2 women were found in front of homes near busy intersections outside a hospital and next to a supermarket. And Bruce Springsteen has released a new song called Streets of Minneapolis, directly criticizing President Trump's immigration crackdown in Minneapolis. The lyrics cast ICE agents as, quote, King Trump's private army. This is a part of Streets of Minneapolis.
Trump's federal thugs beat up on his face and his chest. Then we heard gunshots, and Alex Pretty lay in the snow dead. Their claim was self-defense, sir. Just don't believe your eyes. It's our blood and bones, and these whistles and phones against Miller and Noam's dirty lies.
We'll hear more of Bruce Springsteen's new song throughout the broadcast. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In Dilley, Texas, two protesters were arrested Wednesday as demonstrators rallied outside ICE's South Texas Family Residential Center, where the Trump administration is detaining children, including Liam Ramos, the 5-year-old from Minnesota, who was detained last week after coming home from preschool. Images of Liam went viral after he was picked up while still wearing a Spider-Man backpack and a blue hat with bunny ears. He's being detained with his father. According to the family's lawyer, Liam's father is a legal asylum seeker who's followed proper protocols and has no criminal record. On Wednesday, Texas Democratic Congressmember Joaquin Castro met with Liam and his father. Castro spoke after their meeting.
Liam Ramos should be released immediately. I would first like to describe to you our meeting. We met with he and his father for about 30 minutes, how that meeting went. We sat in what was the courtroom. You can see from the picture that I posted that he was lying in his father's arms. His father said that Liam has been very depressed since he's been at Dilley, that he hasn't been eating well. I was concerned with, you see how he appears in that photo with his energy. He seemed lethargic. His father said that Liam has been sleeping a lot, that he's been asking about his family, his mom, and his classmates, and saying that he wants to go be back in school with his classmates. He's asked about his backpack and his cap that he was wearing when they picked him up in Minnesota. I let him know that his school and his community, his family, and our country love him and we're praying for him.
Texas Democratic Congressmember Joaquin Castro visited the ICE jail in Dilley just days after hundreds of detained immigrant families held a protest inside demanding the release of Liam and other detained children. Protesters held signs reading Libertad para los niños, or Liberty for the kids. The immigration attorney, Eric Lee, was attempting to meet with clients inside Dilley when the protests broke out. He posted this video from just outside.
I'm outside. I'm outside. It doesn't say out here.
And I've just been ordered to leave the premises. And she's yelling at me right now. So I'm outside of the Dilley facility here in South Texas. There's a demonstration of detainees taking place inside right now. We were all asked to leave. There's a drone flying up ahead right now. It's an extremely bizarre situation. You can hear them shouting. Can you hear that? They're shouting, "Let us out! Let us out!"
A video from immigration attorney Eric Lee recorded Saturday outside ICE's South Texas family jail in Dilley. He's joining us now from San Antonio, along with Javier Hidalgo, legal director at ISIS, an organization that provides legal support for immigrant families in Texas. Eric, let's begin with you. We just saw you outside this jail, the detention center. Can you explain who's inside and also talk about this visit yesterday? You were there as well yesterday, I understand, outside of Joaquin Castro, who's with Liam's dad, and Liam, who's the dad holding Liam. He says he is very depressed and is just laying there.
Well, I represent a family of six. It's a mother and her five children, 2 5-year-old twins, who have been there for over 8 months. That's almost a fifth of their young lives. Their last name is El Gamal. There's also a 9-year-old, a 16-year-old, an 18-year-old. The conditions in this facility are abysmal. But I think there's another point to be made about the overall situation, because yes, the Democrats are holding their press conferences. It's a midterm election year. We all know that they do this every time there's some horrific crime perpetrated against immigrants, whether it's family separation in 2018 and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's teary-eyed photo op, and then they go away and nothing changes. Dilley was opened by the Obama administration in 2014. It's been filled up with hundreds of children and their parents. The Biden administration kept it open for three and a half years of his term. Obviously, Trump is making everything worse. The conditions are deplorable. They're getting worse and worse. But it's very important, as this protest movement develops across this country, as the calls for more demonstrations grow and grow, as calls for a general strike grow, the Democratic Party is as equally responsible as Trump for creating the infrastructure of mass family and adult detention in this country. And it is necessary that this protest movement stay 100 miles away from the Democratic Party and develop its orientation to the working class. That's the only way that Dilley is going to be shut down, that the families inside, like my clients, are going to be freed. And that has got to be rule number one with these protests as they develop going forward.
I'm wondering, Javier Hidalgo, if you can describe the conditions inside as we hear this painful cry of children and parents, "Let us out, let us out."
Yeah. The conditions are, imagine you were in a jail, and imagine it was a jail that was probably conditioned worse than any jail that our criminal justice system would put someone in. Now, imagine you're in there with your child, watching your child deteriorate day after day. And it's a jail that no one in there has actually done anything wrong, right? Because no criminals are in immigrant detention. They can't be. They would be in our criminal justice system, right? And every day, the guards there are saying, well, if you want this to end, just give up your case, right? And so imagine that condition. Imagine being there with a breastfeeding child under the age of one, and the water that they give you to mix with formula smells so bad that your child won't take it down, right? That's the type of conditions. Lack of medical care is constant. And let me just say, my context for this, right, is, you know, our organization has been working, providing legal services to families in family detention since Obama opened them in 2014 in some form, right? We've been documenting these harms. These harms aren't new. It's almost as it's a tool that just keeps getting recycled and used, but the conditions are just horrific. And it's unimaginable, and you almost have to go and see it. I can describe it in and out, right? Lack of adequate food. We often hear about food with bugs or worms in it. Half frozen food being given. Guards yelling at parents if their kids are making too much noise or if they're asking for an extra apple. Yesterday when the Congress folks tried to meet, we understood from the clients that we were meeting with that same day, right? That they were pretty much locked in their rooms, except to be escorted to meet with us in legal visitation. And they were locked in their rooms, and the guards just tossed crayons on the floor for the kids to play with to keep them busy. There's no educational resources. What they are given is laughable. And some of the things that are new are a lot of these families, which this hasn't happened all that often, in the recent years that they've used family attention, wishing a lot of families that have been here in our communities for a long time, taken into detention centers while they're still trying to process a case. So you're talking about kids who have been going to school, understand the difference between a rigorous academic curriculum and they're giving coloring packets, right? And so that's the level of conditions. And despite all the protections that exist, and let me say, there's very few protections that exist, ICE has taken a position that they don't actually apply because they don't want them to anymore. And they're just ignoring them and flouting them. So you have families in there that are in there up towards 100 days, upwards of 100 days, as high as Eric's client, who has been there an unimaginable amount of time, right?
Let me ask Eric Lee about this family that they have been there for many months. What about the Flores decision, where children aren't supposed to be detained longer than 20 days?
Well, this family has been persecuted by Stephen Miller and Donald Trump and the White House. They are the wife and child of the individual who carried out the attack on a peaceful demonstration in Boulder, Colorado in June. The White House Twitter and the fascists who run their Twitter page called for the family to be illegally deported using cynical emojis. A federal judge shut that down. But they have not been released because this government is persecuting them, not for anything that they did, but for something that somebody else did. And in this country, that is not supposed to happen in a democracy. That's what happens in police state dictatorships. That's what Videla did in Argentina, punish opponents of the perceived opponents of the regime or criminals, et cetera, et cetera. The Flores settlement essentially presents families with a sort of Sophie's choice. What is a five-year-old supposed to do? They're supposed to agree to leave their mother, especially under conditions where they've essentially just lost their father for all intents and purposes. And that is not a choice that these kids are really going to make. And in my client's situation, given the level of vitriol with which the government has pursued them, they cannot go back to their home country of Egypt. They will be killed or arrested if they go there. One final point I would make about this family: an immigration judge ruled that they are significant flight risk and denied them bond on that basis, citing, among other reasons, a, quote, lack of property and assets. That immigration judge made that ruling independently about each of these children. A child, a five-year-old child, is in detention in this country because of a lack of property and assets. That's how the immigration system works,
Eric,
in this country.
Eric, we're showing the picture of the five-year-old. What's the five-year-old's name? It's a drawing of stick figures in a cage.
Yes. So for privacy reasons, I'm not going to reveal the children's names, but this is a drawing that the five-year-old girl gave me in person over the weekend in Dilley, and it's expressive of the feelings. She told me that she has nightmares every night where she is being chased by an animal and she cannot get away because she's in a cage. This is a deliberate policy to ruin these children's lives. They will never fully recover.
The 18-year-old child, she's separated from the others?
That's right. Habiba Soliman is her name, since she's now turned 18. She turned 8. All of these children had a birthday in this detention center. Imagine that wonderful celebration. She has been separated from her family. And not only that, denied visitation rights and denied religious accommodations as a practicing Muslim based on retribution for her decision to speak out to the media last week. That's correct.